Daddy, we live in the dream, got dead in the field. All of my dream like Champions League. Every 25 kids, even the only feed. Man, I bet you blow out like a Ferrari. We got a bunch, that's the love of the tweet. Create my own leagues, I hope we compete.
Although here's Canapri, he's on a hat-trick and he's in.
This is Corner Flag Talk.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on Corner Flag Talk, and this will be the first like actual YouTube segment for this season. Thank you guys for joining us. I really hope you guys enjoy it. I obviously got to see everybody picks from before, so we're gonna have some real interesting conversations, I should say, in terms of some men picks, right? So what we're gonna do, guys, is that each person is we're gonna go through 10 to 1. And each person is going to say who they put. If one person has somebody that appears high up on the list, they won't say where that person comes from, but they could say like, hey, well, you know, I put this person higher and higher and whatnot, right? So, as you guys can see, everybody on screen here, we have Rajiv. Rajiv, what's good, my guy?
Hey, guy, what's up?
Then we have Aiden. Aiden.
What's up, good? Everybody? Long time, long time.
And then the one Liverpool fan in Trinidad, yeah, Yuan. Yuan, what's good?
Hey, guys.
All right, so we'll go through 10 to 1. So we'll start off with Rajiv, and we'll come around. Rajiv, who was your 10th person, bro?
I have Cucurella as a number 10.
No bias at all, there, guys.
No bias at all.
I can't tell you that nobody else had Cucurella in their 10, bro. So why you don't tell us why it is you put him in your 10 or what?
Because I have him in my 10. The season's still young, and due to his versatility, I think he'll be a huge player for us this coming season. And also because Potter is there, he will prove this season that he belongs with the big boys.
Fair enough. Just on Cucurella, guys, in like 30 seconds or less, you want an Aiden. You could go first. Why does your wouldn't have had Cucurella in your top 10?
No. Honestly, when you asked me to do this, I kind of scrapped together all this. I didn't think too much of it. No. Honestly, looking at it, I think that... Now, you see, I like to comment a little hot because I think that makes when the less refined takes is the more hot it is, no, which is good. But I actually think Cucurella is definitely a real fish. So, and when he came in, I was like, wait. That means Chilwell probably done that Chelsea. That's my opinion. I feel like this is probably the beginning of the end for him. Just because of how highly I read Cucurella. I think with Graham Potter coming into, like, that's a perfect marriage there. Like, he was the best left back in the league, probably outside of Cancelo and Robinson last season. And I think that, you know, him coming into Graham Potter's team, you know, Graham Potter coming in to support him, perfect. I think he'll shine on them. So yeah.
Aiden?
I don't have him. Because I feel like he hasn't settled properly as yet. Reason being, I know he versatile, could play left center back and left wing back, left back. But like, I want to see him settle into one solid position. Because left wing back, Chilwell will bench him from time to time.
We fight in a way.
you buy Fofana. So, I mean, you buy somebody for that side too now. So, for that reason, I didn't have him. I just want to see him settle. But he's a good player.
Yeah, I think he's a good player as well. And the reason I didn't play him is because, like, when I was thinking about this, like, I was evaluating, like, impact on the side and stuff like that. And I also kind of contradict Yuan as well because I do think that Chilwell still has a future in the club. And the reason being is, like, obviously it's just one game we saw under Graham Potter, right? But, like, when I watch his system that he plays, for all the Cucurella's high qualities, which he does have many of, I think that an area that Chilwell beats him in is actually, like, goal scoring. And that position, again, in the first game that we saw, a lot of chances fell to him now. And I think that it would be hard to avoid Chilwell getting game time there. Now, is that a case of Cucurella bench? Probably not. Probably shift back to the left center back. But then you have to consider if somebody's moving spot to spot, does he, of the hundreds of signings that, you know, we have to evaluate for this, does he make top 10? But it's not to discredit a good signing. Obviously, he's very good. That being said, Yuan, who was your 10th one then?
Check out the notes there. Because, you know, so in terms of the 10th best signing this summer, I went for somebody very out the box. I went for Sven Botman.
Ooh,
okay, well, nice. I just think that when you look at the signings this summer, I think there's a lot. I feel like I wanted to kind of push the envelope a little bit, but maybe I hope so. But I think Botman, you know, he really elevates Newcastle. So I think they've been. This season they've been pretty decent defensively, even despite, you know, not really keeping too many clean sheets. You see the levels increase, right? with the signings of Nick Pope and Sinan Oakman, added a new dimension to that defense, I think. Stuart Kieran Trippier obviously being back to fitness. And I think that he's somebody that a lot of teams would have been after. And I think that he's one signing that can really elevate Newcastle into that kind of where we saw City maybe a couple, like a decade ago, you know, where they just slowly climbed the ranks. Who knows if he could be their company? Who knows? That's how I'll just get what's happening. I'll give it a glimpse. But I think he really elevates the level of the defense from what could have been misconstrued as potentially a championship defense at a point last season. So, yeah, outside the box, but I rate it.
Hey, you're lucky at all. I've turned them. All right, we're going to go with it. Yeah, what's all your thoughts on that, boy? Rajiv?
Now, I think that's a real fair shout. And if you watch the back end of last season, Newcastle was defensively pretty solid under Hull. So, by adding Botman into it and Nick Pope, I think, and they're looking actually real good. And it's really low XG chances they conceded, right?
Correct, correct.
So, yeah, sick, no.
So, yeah, ridiculous.
In?
He was in my arm shortlist. The only reason I didn't put him is the same Cucurella reason. I feel like I just want to see him settle a bit more. I think he has good competition there as well. But I mean, they bring him to start. He's a solid defender. Yeah, I feel by the time he seasons, then he might make my top 10.
Yeah, nice. Fair enough. In why the one time on say who was your 10th one?
So for my boy Yuan there, I actually have Fabio Carvalho.
Oh,
okay.
What I looked at is price, impact. That was like my two that I looked at. His price point wise, he's a bargain. Obviously not a starter as yet, but the times I've seen him play, I was thoroughly impressed. I think it's a matter of time before he like begins to start games. I think it will reach a point that club can't like not play him now. So maybe by next season. But given the price, I think Liverpool struggle with that player. Good bargain.
I'm not gonna let you on though. Rajiv, what's your thoughts on Carvalho? What is on Carvalho? Is that signing there?
To be honest, I didn't know much about him before Liverpool signed him. I just know he was highly rated. And so far, he did look good, but he definitely wouldn't make my list because he's still too young.
Yeah. I think he's a really talented player. I don't get me wrong. I just think, like, I do think it is definitely value for money because it does, like, go into something that has Klopp really well in terms of how he's been since he's been at Liverpool, in terms of going for players that were, like, relegated, championship stars, that kind of stuff. And, you know, he would have, technically speaking, he would have come up with a promoted side because he would have come up with Fulham, right? It's a good signing. And the thing is, I have said on the pod earlier this week that I do think that there's a system change that should be coming with Liverpool in the future. Want to probably balance out where the new talents are. And if they do switch to something that's more like a 4-3-1, then I do see a role for Carvalho, probably between him and Elliot, to fight up into the 11. My third signing is somebody whose name I can't pronounce, so we'll just go with Kavara. He has been really good for Napoli, and he really has shot. He's really taken the UCL by storm. That's when he really started to get people noticed. But like, if you look at his numbers, even in the Serie A, he's a big part as to why Napoli, second in the table, I believe, to Atalanta, who also had a really good Saturday season. Only two of them is top of the table. And when you look at the amount of players that Napoli actually lost this season, in terms of they lost Insigne, they lost Mertens, they lost Koulibaly, they lost Fabian, they lost a lot of core members and players who weren't just there like one, two seasons. We talk about players that nearly make 10 years and things there. And he left, and Kavara's taken the spot of their captain, Insigne. And it feels like they even missing anything with him going. So I went for Kavara, and he's somebody that I think not only will be a bargain this summer for them, but next year, next 2 years, when they look to sell him, bro, like, are they really good right now? We look at, like, what, triple, quadruple the price of what they pay for him. So, yeah, I went...
How much did they pay for him?
I think it was 13 million, 1-3.
Yeah, he might go for, like, honestly, the way the market going, he'll go for 10 times that this year. Because he's a million player. And the thing is, him too, he's not only, like, a flashy player with the skills, he gets the goals, he gets the assists.
Yeah.
He's always in a dangerous position. Yeah. I think like I kind of excited in now, put him on the snow because I think he would have probably been like ninth or something.
If you had Rajiv, anything to say about Kavara?
Nah, so far he's looking real good. And the man played real good with his pool. And that was, to be honest, that was the only Napoli game I watched.
Yeah, and good.
Them Napoli real playboy.
Ian?
I have, I find he's good. Very dynamic. And not just flashy, you know, the man have the final product it shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I excited to see if he will continue or if he will crash on Boone, like if it's just a little purple patch in. But I have a friend who's a Serie A person, I know you're on a Juventus fan, and they told me they were really impressed with this guy. And they actually mentioned him at the end of last season to look out for, and looking at
right.
I mean, good shout. Good shout.
All right, good shout.
I'll go into...
And Napoli on top Serie A right now, eh?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes, either them or Atalanta, but I think they tied on
points. I think, yeah, they're tied on points. I think they beat
Napoli
and
Atalanta tied, yeah.
Oh, they are tied. They are top. Sorry, they are top, and they actually are top.
3 points separated, though. Like, it's crazy how close they are now.
Because we all know Milan have actually been pretty good since the start of the season, and they're not even in top four right now.
Milan lost to Napoli, that's why they're not on top right now. So,
and a big reason as to why they lost to Napoli is who's actually my ninth pick, which is Kim. You know, so he was the one that came in to replace Koulibaly. And again, back to a big thing that I took into account for this, and not everybody had to take these things into account, obviously, right? Was impact of a player now. And again, Koulibaly, somebody who was captain of Senegal, who was there for as long as some people can remember. Like, for FIFA players, who know though, this man was actually a French card. Like, when he had not reached Napoli, dog, in 2012 or something like that, dog. And he was a cornerstone on their side, came close to winning the title a lot of times with Napoli. And he come in, and again, starting like a glue. And for 18 million from Fenerbahce, from a league that a lot of players... Unfortunately, you know, like Ozil, that you know, go there to like basically retire, you know, to come out the league and to come and to impact a Serie A side that to replace somebody as massive as Koulibaly, he's been fantastic. It had this clip that was going wrong from the same AC Milan game where they were trying to see out the lead because it was they were 2-1 up, and out of nowhere he made his last-ditch intervention to stop a goal up, and it was fantastic. And I think he's a really good shout, but I also don't know what he has had him. So I could be wrong. Well, you guys can let me know the thoughts on that.
Nah, well, when I watched him against us, he was really solid. He, honestly, recently has only played against Napoli. Especially at Koulibaly has kind of just, like, Salah has actually, and there were a couple of viral clips of him bullying Koulibaly, I think. But with Kim coming in, it's like they haven't missed a step. And I know as well, I think I watched a bit of one of the Serie A games as well. He was really good in that game, I think against, I think it's Milan, so I can't remember which game I watched. It was to watch Kavara. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Napoli, they really did really well in replacing the profiles they lost. Kim is a player with a pretty decent, you know, like he has a high ceiling, I think.
For what it's worth, he actually won the Serie A player of the month, this month going here. As well as under Spalletti, who's been the coach for the last 2 years, a big cornerstone of what they do at Napoli has been a more defense-first approach. I believe that they were either first or second for best defensive record in Serie A last year. And so for somebody to come in to keep that philosophy going, I think was really important.
And he also won player of the one of the players of the in the team of the season for the
I believe so as well. Yeah.
Solid player. I think I mean I obviously surprised when last we heard about a good South Korean like center back who will make it in one of the Europe's
league. Well, everybody only knows Son Dong.
Yeah. It's true. That him and Hwang.
Kind of fizzle out a little bit.
Yeah.
But this man Hwang, I think.
And that Wolves side.
One of my friends is a Wolves fan. Where you say that he always play, like he always play first club one. Yeah. So
this man never had Rom in his side.
Rom is not in my top 10.
Well, drinks or players, eh?
Nah, but yeah, good show, John. I like that. I guess I could.
You can go out one time, yeah.
So I have the short boss, Lisandro Martinez, at 9.
That's what I put in this one too, boy. So just take it over now, boy. I rearranged my list there, Johnny. What else?
Okay. Why can't you get here, you know?
You won't forget when we come down. Now.
Hey! I like that. I like that.
Fresh and you come.
Price is a little hot. I guess we had to play the Izzy United tax. Arsenal were interested. United always had a little 10 million on somebody price tag. But sheer impact of this player, I must say, has impressed me. The first two games, people were already, you know, outing him, saying, yeah, well, he not good. It shows that once he has a good partner with him, he has done well. But I like the aggressiveness. I find he is he makes up for the lack of height, which is physical prowess, speed, aggression, and just as a United fan, obviously some bias here, but the impact he has had on the back line and which has spread throughout the team has been immense for me. So that's why I have him. Maybe a little high, but
I don't think so. I don't think so. Reggie?
Well, I have a United man in my 9th pick, but it's yellow out there because you only play one game. But I have Anthony.
Ooh,
as my 9th.
But I won blasted goal.
Arsenal sucks.
Ramsdale sucks.
Ramsdale sucks.
But the only reason I have him at 9th is because he have a very high upside, and as a player, Ten Hag really, really wanted. Because they chase him almost the whole summer. Not as much as Frankie, but he was right there.
Yeah.
And if Ten Hag wanted him so bad, he will prove do big things this season for them, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. The thing with Anthony that I do like is that, like, as a neutral...
The price tag.
That the thing that with, like, United that I've, like, always criticized, like, for years, or is that, like, I keep feeling like they do identify the positions that are issues with them, but, like, in terms of, like, going after the right profiles, it always has had an issue with that, you know? Like, the forever signing, like, wingers who prefer the left side and midfielders who prefer to be more box-to-box and DMs and that kind of stuff now. And with Anthony, this is the first time in a while, probably since, arguably, what, Di Maria, that they get an out-and-out right winger. You know, somebody that likes the right touchline, that is comfortable in the half spaces there. And for this, I have a friend who is actually Dutch, and, you know, he told me, when I asked him, like, you know, if he asked him outright if I thought that Anthony would have been a good time for United, and he was like, yeah, because he adds something that, you know, United has missed for a while, which is that extra spark to double up on the wings, you know, because, like, for a long time, like, even Sancho, who's a player that I do, like, whoever lines up on the right side, because they aren't as comfortable on the left, it makes it a easier mark then. So then now it is an easier tactical decision to double up on the left side, to double up on Rashford, Martial, whoever it is that's lined up on the left side, Sancho even, Dan right? James, you know, big up Dan James. But with Anthony now, it makes it harder. It makes it a harder tactical decision. It makes it United less predictable. And when you wonder with the skills that he has in his pocket as well as his ability to score, you know, it's hard to rule him out. What would have fazed me from putting him in is the transfer tag right now, and it's just that I think that the Eredivisie transition rate over the last few years, I think, has let down the league a little bit. But what gives me confidence that this move will work, just like with Lissandro and the woodwork, is purely because, you know, Ten Hag would have known all the deficiencies in these men games and would have wanted them regardless. So even so, he knows that he could put together a system that can get the most of these players. So, yeah, dog, I think that's good shouts. Everybody, give me a 9th on that.
Mine was Lissandro too. I think, just add to what you say, boy, like, I think that people kind of sound him a little bit. And even though I do think that he will have those abilities where he just might be too short, you know, like, that's a big criticism, but, I mean, you can't really think. I think the level that he adds in terms of playing out from the back, in terms of his overall reading and play, is just something that I think is critical for United to kind of start playing the football they want to play now. I think I like his aggression. Like, I remember when he came to replace De Ligt, I watched him a couple times, but I actually just watching some Shippier and Adesanya thing, and I was like, wait, I find this man better than De Ligt, because De Ligt never really impressed me after that 2 seasons. But that's a whole other story. But yeah, I think I have to set the box for the Premier League for my first picks. But yeah, that's my
Here's what I would say, though, a little bit with Lissandro, right, is that I do think that sometimes the aggression could get a little better of him. And I think that sometimes he can be a little rash to hop out his pocket to try and get closer to men. And is that a psychological thing because he knows he's smaller and that if the ball go over the top is harder for him to get that? Or is it just that's just natural? He plays either way.
He's in my blood, bro.
Yeah, it could be that at all too. But again, I think that Ten Hag would have known this about him and would have been able to see that as even a potential weakness. And either, you know, help him adjust the league, adjust to how aggressive he could be. Because at the end of the day, though, Ajax wasn't just the Man City of the Eredivisie. They were like there. And then it was like if Man City going on the championship then, you know. So, like, what you could get away with then, you can't get away with any prep. So, in terms of adjusting, you know, I think it would work. It would be proven a good signing eventually. Well, since you didn't really get to give a pick, you want to give us your 8th pick?
Do I want to give you any pick, boy? Nah, of course. So, I actually think the PSG this season,
I think we appointed
a proper football director. You know, it came out and we saw that they started make signings and they really fit the profile before. Before that, they used to make Israel high class, like they're looking for name, but now you seem looking for profile. And they signed Carlos, so they signed Fabianos, but Vitinha is my 8th pick. He's a baller, boy. Well, obviously he's a baller. And he hasn't really fit the side just yet, I don't think. But I think he's the kind of player, the kind of mentality that I think will improve the team. As I say, though, like, one thing I can describe about the man, though, he's a baller. Like, that's what every time I look at him, he's really technically gifted. And he has enough for that, the other side, the dog in him. To kind of carry himself through, and that's something that I think PSG kind of lack. Because even you have like a man like Verratti, he's a very injury-prone player, and sometimes you know he's kind of his head is dropped a little bit.
Is he really?
And yeah, what do you mean? Oh yeah, make us serious, Drew. Keep that for next episode.
I think the man doesn't actually be injured. Yeah? I think the man is going to rehab, but that's a whole other conversation.
But I think like we are locking on to and like that's for. But there's the rest of his career because it's PSG. Whenever they want to sell, they sell, right? I think that's an incredible move. So, yeah, Vitinha was my number 8 pick.
Yeah. And he play for Wolves?
Yeah, that's Fabio Vieira. Oh, wait, sorry, Vitinha? What is it, Fabio Vieira? Vitinha played for Wolves, yeah, my bad.
Yeah,
he did. And when he was having his breakout season, they just was like, I was like, right, that was last year. All they were, again, I would say Wolves fan branch. He's like, what going on in Zimbabwe? Because we have this Huang man, but this Vitinha man born out here in Portugal and saying, I know he's the subject of interest from PSG and saying, it's like, what are you going on? So,
the thing is with Vitinha that I really like.
The option, huh? They had the option to buy him for 20 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. He only made 19 appearances for the club.
The thing is with Vitinha is that, like, it's, again, straight from the mouth of a Porto fan, dog, is that he say he's extremely complete. That he has every side of his game, and not just like, you know, when we associate techie players, not necessarily with the defensive side. And from the PSG games that I have watched, him and Verratti have made a really good partnership. Now, I know obviously that the level of the league does make those things subject to question, right? But even in the UCL, I think that they've really complemented each other really well, because I think Verratti as well has some dog in his game. And when you have what the back three allows you to do is to, like, not necessarily play somebody that is a direct six or somebody to hold right through, but when you have two players who are willing to work really hard off the ball and stuff like that, it can be really complimentary. And then when you have like Doug Blaster, some of the best center backs in the world, you know, that has helped too.
Correct.
But yeah, the Vitinha was also in mind. I think it's a brilliant pickup. And like you said, I really like that from PSG. It felt more like profile-based scouting and getting players that the manager wanted. And I think that's a big part of it, though, was players that the manager wanted, not players that were forced onto the manager. What were your 8 picks, Rajiv?
My 8 pick was Zinchenko.
Ooh! I like it. I love it.
Yeah. Isn't he injured now?
Make me look away from my food for that.
Yeah, he looked real impressive in the 2 to 3 games he played for Arsenal.
Yeah.
The only thing is he's a little injury prone, but Arsenal look really good with him in his side. Yeah. He better than Tierney for sure.
Yeah, agreed. Aiden, who was your 8th pick, bro?
My 8th pick was the man they call Young Pogba. He's a pretty good. Sure, many.
Hey! Big ones, boy.
Extremely hot. Very spicy. But I think he will be well with that money. Because the kind of ball I see this man is playing for the national team previously, he different, bro. Like, I would have taken him on my side. I think anybody would have taken him on their side.
Oh, I would have taken him on my side. Let me tell you a story. he's supposed to be playing for so long, but then Mbappe just had to play up in the anyway. I'm not using words on the phone.
Philly, right? He break the arm. Philly didn't break the matrix there when he stayed there.
Nah, correct. Yeah.
I'll be honest though, I like that tonight. I do actually though.
I like it, but when does it affect me negatively, I don't like it that way. So.
Fair enough. But like, dog, at the end of the day, Real Madrid is football and royalty, right? Dog? I literally don't think any player will ever like belong them, right? And for what it's worth, dog, and while I don't necessarily like how Mbappe is moving now, obviously he getting paid well and all those things, but he has said, even before this contract, that a big priority for him had been at PSG is trying to return European glory to the French league, right? And my thing is, though, if he left, it would have seemed like he'd given up on that. And by staying, and again, I know he's well compensated for staying, it meant that there's something bigger than just moving to clubs. That there was something that was in his heart that he really wanted to accomplish, and he wasn't ready to give up on that yet.
Nah, I feel his money, yeah, but...
But the man, the man owned PSG now, though.
Yeah. I mean,
like LeBron with the Cavs, dog. The man is trying to bring up elevate that.
Do you think so, though? Because I feel like with the Cavs, anyway, I don't need too much of Arsenal, man. But I think with the Cavs, it's more of a hometown scene kind of thing. Man.
Yeah, well, Mbappe, well, at least about John.
No, Mbappe is born in Paris,
Was he in Paris, man?
Yeah, he actually born in Paris.
Monaco, he had come from, as in signing, right?
True Monaco.
Yeah. Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea. He will never come back here. He might already squash that.
For sure. Yeah. I like how he keeps us. Was he a PSG fan growing up? Was anybody a PSG fan growing up?
That side probably was like.
Yeah, Kunku maybe not the man for this.
I
also have Tchouaméni.
I have Tchouaméni. Much higher than this.
Me too. No, I like to tell you, because he put him at 8, I don't study if I put Tchouaméni too high.
I don't think I put him too high. John Cena is already, yeah, John don't know who I put too high already, so.
I'll go next. My 7 pick, I put this in just so men don't say
I don't think you're about to eat
that, yeah. Oh, my 8 was Vitinha as well, so it kind of wanted the same.
Good wins.
Yeah, this my 7 pick was just so men don't say I'm biased, was a United player. I swear to God, actually, in the clip I sent out today, I believe, though, about the pod, I spoke about this guy, and I really mean it when I say that Christian Eriksen is literally one of the bargains of the summer, dog. And I really mean it when I think that, look, and I say this with all respect for the players at United that are good and are edging to world class and whatnot, dog. Those players are here. Christian Eriksen is here, though. Like, with the only reason that I understand why clubs would have been skeptical was the heart issues and stuff like that. But given that those things are past him and that they aren't anything really to worry about him, because if I remember right, a United game a little while ago, he ran the furthest at any player on the field, so clearly that is not something holding back.
This season, he has run the most.
Yeah, but when you have a reactor, is that fair?
Leave Iron Man alone now, boy. But look, long and short of it, I think that he's a brilliant pickup. Obviously, value-wise, again, somebody like that for free was up there with Thiago Silva going to Chelsea for free. And I think that he carries the technical level to United to a different level, really, really a different level in terms of the ability to play off the back, in terms of the ability to progress the ball through lanes or the field. I think he's an actual cheat code through skipping lanes. Like, again, I mean, I talk about all of this. All I know my thoughts on Spurs and Gary, right? But it is notable, though, that this season here was the first time Spurs make top four since Eriksen leave. And I don't think that that is a mistake. I don't think that it is. I think that he was Poch's cheat code.
No, yeah. He was. They miss him. They're real suffering.
You know something? I think that if Gaultier was there while Poch was there, you would have seen a man like Eriksen end up at PSG.
Yeah.
That's maybe a hot thing. But I think... Yeah, I could share it somewhere. But I think for like FIFA 12 or somewhere, I'm a signing man from Ajax. YouTube compilations. He had one with him Dragon Ball Trap on leg and thing. But I think one of the big things, like with him, and we saw it was like the Brentford move was to see if he's still physically up to it now. Exactly, and then he passed that test because Brentford got, I think, they had some kind of record with him when he feel like they win all their games or some shit and stuff like that. But
now you're not a solid record.
Yeah. And United was just like, United, when he won, the club took the chance on him, and I think he's a really top signing. He elevates the level for sure.
And I think that when you look at the philosophy that Ten Hag wants to play though, you know, I know that he's not young or anything, but he embodies a big part of that technical security, that wanted to pass relays, I wanted to play under the pressure and to know that the player not going to lose the ball.
And he have Ajax on the CV too, which is always a plus for Ten Hag.
Yeah, but you know, that first green light that he's got. So yeah, Aiden, you can give me your thoughts on watching him so far, as well as you can tell me yourself.
I've been getting my thoughts one time. So.
Higher than two of them anyway?
Yeah.
Everything you say now, you're like, higher than two of them anyway?
The only reason he Dalo, I guess, is price tag even my higher.
Yeah,
that
wasn't as high, but the man will be worth more than that in like 2-3 years.
Regardless. Easy.
Eriksen, bro, he, as a United fan, he's the first kind of player with a actual footballing brain.
Yeah.
Since Michael Parrish.
That
type of player now. Smooth on the ball, good passer, bro. Bruno for me still, I know that's John Boy, but Bruno is a brilliant player, but obviously he's a high-risk player. He do play the game as smart as I think he could, and Eriksen just brings that football IQ. I think Paul Scholes, I mean, he have some terrible takes, but he could judge a good centre midfielder, and he said that Eriksen probably will be United's best signing this season.
No, and the thing is, Aiden, what you say there about Bruno is why Eriksen is such a good signing, because if you have that security deeper, then you could allow Bruno to then do his thing in his final third. Because, look, for all your abs, I get Bruno. It's not because I don't think he's a good player. I think he's misused highly now. You know, like, you don't want somebody who plays that style of football playing in your second third when you're trying to build up and evade press and to get in the final third. You want him in your pockets of space to dominate teams. Because that is where he looked his best when he now came into the side. Like, men forget, though, when Eriksen, when Bruno, the first half of the season he was here, and even part of the second season, when he was balling, was when Pogba was there and was actually on form and was doing that deeper role of being technically more secure and things like that. So, you know, that is the next reason why I think Eriksen is a brilliant signer. I think he unlocks a lot of players in the team as well. But who was your seventh pick, you know?
My seventh pick was the man Chelsea chased. But they didn't get through. Arsenal as well.
Which one?
Which one? Nah, I have Rafinha. Maybe you all have him higher. I don't know. But
I have him higher.
Yeah, Rafinha is a baller. Just
I just didn't want to know. So
Give it. As in, you could not have him in and around the best signings because of the the impact he having. Price was not horrible, and then the man. He just got us. He's one of the most informed right wingers in the world. So
I think with Rafinha, way like so. I actually took him off my list in the update of this I sent to John because I'm a Barca hater at heart now, so I can't get too much props now. I already have one more Barca player there. But What is that to come up to is because I really like that player. When he was at Leeds, I say, wait, boy, this man is a baller. And like, I think he was the best attacking player outside top six while he was in prep, honestly speaking. His technical level is different. I think he, I mean, as much as people rate Anthony, I think he's way better than Anthony, I'm sorry. And he might have like these skills and things, but Rafinha, technical ability, just up like his ability to hit a ball, his crossing ability is, I think, better for me. And he also has the dribbling gene, right? He can shoot, he can cross, he can do everything, right? And he can play both sides as well. But yeah, like, on the principle, as a Barcelona, I could only put one, so.
To be real honest, if we did sign Rafinha to Kuro, that's still a big job, man.
Correct.
You think so?
Serious.
What Rafinha do
if Kai and Timo could have scored some goals,
no, bro.
That's still a high job.
But what Rafinha do with that wing back?
Yeah. ZH has been horrible for us, though.
You know why, Tupai? Look, one of my biggest criticisms over Tuchel, not just now, but like his whole managerial career, is that he depends on his attackers to be very high IQ players. Mm. Because he doesn't necessarily crouch structured attacks. He crouch structures defensively, like we've seen that, right? But like, you know, when we look at PSG at Dortmund, it was Mkhitaryan and Dembele, though. You know? Yeah. And then when you look at when it was at PSG, it was Neymar and Di Maria. And then at Chelsea, it was Mount playing at his peak, though, you know? When Mount himself fell out of form, is when his system really started to fail a lot, especially going forward. And Rafinha is a real high IQ player, though. I agree with that take, Charlie. Why don't you give us your 7-1 one time, though?
My 7-1 is a little kind of hot take because he don't play that much, but I have Casemiro as 7-1. Okay. Man is a world-class player, in my opinion, though. Like, one of the very best. And I strongly believe once he gets up and running, the United side will be a force to reckon with.
Unless Scott McTominay has something to say about that.
Nah, Scott ain't even half a level yet, though.
No, I just want to give credit where it would, though. And I can't lie, McTominay, for the while, at least, is doing enough to keep the man on the side, though. Like, I don't know, like, what's your shocky looking at, dog? Like, McTominay played the ball, though. I ain't surprised at all, though. Like, I thought, especially in possession versus us, dog, I thought McTominay was real good, dog. I was real surprised, because, like, you know, like, obviously, like, you're thinking ahead on how the game would go. You know, like, I genuinely thought, like, McTominay would that be, like, a real good pinch point for us to try and win about the ball, I think, but he wasn't that.
Bro, Scott's real simple, bro. Scott is like, just, hey, your job is just to tackle these men and pass it short to Eriksen. Yeah.
Well, we will see. If he starts Scott weekend, we will see who he trusts.
No, I think he will, because Scott in that kind of form, you can't really drop him now. When I play in this form, if you drop him, you're just going to end that right there.
I think the second that Scott fall out of form, though, he will let Casemiro get a chance. Yeah.
Casemiro, a few games.
Anybody have Casemiro on this?
No.
I didn't. I mean, elite player, he has all the plaudits and stuff. And nobody questioned if the man not good. The price is a little high. Well, like, not a little high. It was too high for somebody that age. But I think he will do a job. I just hope he do turn out like Matic at United, where he was just like
the
out
kind of
a while they will play him to help out. I mean, if you pay so much money, you would expect he should be the man
he
looking
should play.
To start.
To be fair, I think Matic actually gave a lot for United. I just feel like I ain't a victim of the system and the players around him. But I love where our conversation is.
Was it
Matic about 2 years too late, boy, but he was good.
was it 6-pick one time in?
Wait, bro, I don't myself. What's your dog? What's this?
Oh, who's yourself,
okay.
One, bro?
It was Isak, boy. I just like you guys on this round, boy. And you see, I think Isak, it's been documented, he's not really like an open guy, but he's just like real in, like, if you're like football and you're watching Isak play away, you'll just be like, yeah, he's a good player, you can tell. He is very excited and technical, and he's in the goals for them. He's scored, I think, twice, a penalty and a great goal against us, and he had another one disallowed by like a fraction. Yeah, I just feel like under a man like Eddie Howe way, because Eddie Howe is an underrated coach right now, I think.
Character.
And again, dog, you see, these signings, because the funny thing is I might end up hitting Newcastle like in about like 2 years, 3 years. But these kind of signings with players, you're bringing in players to kind of usher in this new era. I think that elevates it again. Like, Newcastle to me could be competing with Tough World just now, right? And even if they sell Isak, he probably will go for more. And I think as well, he's a player who will contribute without having to score the goals by himself now. So again, just a little spice thing there to kind of spice up the scene.
Not all of us was lucky enough to get Darwin Nunez really in the window now. So somehow we was looking at strikers throughout the window. And I'll be honest, I have concerns over Isak in the sense that, so, like, it's not recently just we was linked with him. Like, we linked with him for, like, 2-3 years, all right? And there was one season that his output was pretty good. But, like, something with him is that he could end up being Bambi on skates real easy. Like, for somebody that big, though, he real don't really know how to use his frame. And because of that, he could get bullied out of games. Now, you see games against Liverpool and against other big sides where there would be space for him to attack into, yeah, I think he would look good there because technically he's really good. He can really dribble with the ball at his feet, dog, and he have tech to his game. But like in terms of games where he has to hold up and has to play around and play wall passes, I think that is where he get found out a little bit. And like, I think we saw a bit of that against Bournemouth the last time out, because the truth is, and I have in my FPL, so I wanted the man to score. You know, the man was...
Yeah, just coach, let's get out of it.
No, the man was phased out for the majority of that game until the penalty, though.
I don't think... You see, again, like, I feel like Israel, you need to judge people, boy. Especially, you see, like, he's a young player.
Yeah. But John, big up Newcastle, though.
Big up Newcastle.
Because... That's not... I'm going to one for a kid soon. I want to get Newcastle kid, but I was like,
I are a sucker for white kits and black kits. So black and white kits is also for this Ronaldo. So yeah, I might actually get a Bruno Glarus kit for myself.
That's what I was thinking I got to it. How about you really because of the
Ronaldo? I really have a ick about getting numbers past like a certain thing now, boy. Like though the only reason I get Xhaka kit is because it's Xhaka, though. But no, I hate the way 30 something, I think, though, because I just find like that's really a squad player ish, though. I think.
Yeah, that's a picture now of me, you, and Vindev when he gets away, right? No, put on your own. That was real bad. We lime, and imagine the 3 kids you win as a Xhaka kit, a Thiago kit, we're not right now. And a João Moutinho Euro 2016 kit. Like, was he the chances of that? Like, on plan. Like, a random pick up.
Man jump out with some deep playmakers.
That's off.
I have a lofter.
The man did not get injured, you see that season, and I think if Sarri stayed too long, that season after he had ball out, though.
I think he played, like, you see, down to the end with Tuchel, I think he was kind of decent at right wing back, honestly. Yeah. So.
Hey, that Madrid game, he played a real good ball.
Yeah.
But the game he get injured was a pointless friendly, though. It was a 3-week break in between the final, the Europa League final.
Yes,
and we just scheduled that game to stay match fit, and it wasn't even necessary.
Dog, I remember he get injured and I was happy, dog, because obviously all we was playing, dog, and he was in form.
He had prime Hazard, dog.
No, because he was the third top scorer on the Sarri, dog, because it was Hazard and then Giroud and then him, dog, you know? Ruben? And he was actually doing that good.
Yeah. Ruben, no, you're talking about
Sarri ball.
Yeah.
Hey, it had some clips of Sarri ball, boy. We was really balling, boy. William back into Hazard, aren't they?
I actually think Sarri kind of was... unfortunate to get sacked in it, though. Well, I don't know if
he left. So what happened was, has he realized Hazard was leaving, we was getting a transfer ban, and he was like, fire for this. Let me save my face.
Hey, man was the last Juventus manager to win a league in us, so.
Juventus sucks.
Also, this we play behind the closed door game.
I guess Brighton.
He play Loftus Cheek as right back, and he had Chalobah in midfield.
Yeah, so that's But also, I like all the mobilizing Brighton, where if we say take the best player, then you take the coach. Now you just playing him in friendly as well. All the good players still there.
Jadu, when I watch this system, all I have now, though, I would, and I see Chalova, Fabrizio tweeted more that he might want to leave on loan at least or something in January. I think Chalova should get a chance in the sixth, though. Like, I don't see why not.
Yeah, then play dog. He played a few times already.
Yeah, and
I think I'll see that way to get a judge on it. I don't know. I find he's a very aggressive player sometimes. He could be on a rush. Yeah,
but he's still real young too. But
that's true. Yeah,
you know, we never, since for the whole of last season, all the games Chalova start, we didn't lose any in regulation time.
Yeah,
the only two we lose was the two finals to Liverpool.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
I want to see Chuck Womenka and Hutchinson, but I don't know if that's serious. That's two very good young signs.
I told you, we strain. Then we get
Hutchinson, you get Vex.
Where is
it? Nothing.
Hey.
Well, I would do my 6-1 because it was mentioned already, but I have a Rafinha in 6.
Okay.
Fair. Look, big up.
We have in sixth,
Johan. The other Basaman, boy.
You put Lewa quite sixth?
Quite sixth, boy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Christensen, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not Christensen, boy, Regime. Just talking back to that in case of technical difficulties. But it is Robert Lewandowski. Detractor, as I've mentioned before. Well, his four goals and his five goals is a defining moment of my life. I don't think he's like a he's something he's choked against the teams now, as you saw against Bayern a couple of weeks ago. But he's definitely one of the greatest strikers of our generation. I just like the hit, you know what I mean? But I think like getting him for such a cheap, like I think it was how much was it for again? It's free. 45 yeah. AM, even at the stage of his career, you know. Correct. Even for the stage of his career, probably more likely 100% win La Liga's Pichichi Award, top scorer. Yeah, I think he's just overall, you know, like you can't really argue with that logic. So for me, he's fifth. Yeah. No, it's fifth or sixth?
Six.
Yeah, boy, six for real. Cool, six or six.
Yeah, Jadu, I did like him before because I did include a Chelsea player there. And I included my dog and somebody I have backed even when he missed that team, though, is Raheem Sterling, though. I think that, look, I think Raheem is actually underrated, which is crazy for somebody who's in the 100 club for the Premier League, though. And I think that, God forbid, is it really God forbid? That Haaland get injured this year, though, then self-doubt started to realize how much is Mr. Raheem, though. Because last year, for all the Rams and Raheem that get on things, I remember Christmas last year, though, Salah was top scorer with, like, I think it was, like, 14 or 15 at the time, and Raheem was only 3 goals behind him. And you wouldn't have think that, nobody was talking about Raheem was in any form. Huh?
No pens he didn't, or he was taking pens?
No, yeah, he wasn't taking any pens, though. He don't take pens, he's missed all the things.
His pens terrible, though. Let me see Reggie Raheem.
My point being is that, like, he used to accumulate goals on the low for them now. And the thing is, with him now at Chelsea, he gets to be the main man, which is a big thing. But even under Potter, I think that he'll come really good even more now, sort of. And I think, again, that caliber player proves one on one. And I think in his own right, Reggie, he wants to show that he still has it. Like, just because of the way that things ended at City, though, I think that he really wants to prove it, though.
But he's talking about that every City successor.
Yes, he is. And the thing is, I think he has 5 goals already, somewhere around there. But, right. And the thing is, he even informed, like, we don't even see it.
He has 5 goal involvements in 7
but
games.
The man, I think he's class, dog, and I think given that job, it only cost like 47 million for somebody in the 100 club in the Premier League that is 27 in his prime, dog. I think that is a brilliant sign, dog. And again, even on the Tuchel, I thought this, but more so on the Potter, where I do think that the attacking patterns will start to evolve more. I think that he'll get more chances, dog. And I think he will end up being just top scorer at the end of the season. And that's somebody that has to be in my top 10 times. So, yeah.
I have Raheem as well. a little higher on my list. He's fifth. But considering how bad Chelsea start this season and how good he has been for us, he will only go up. I as the team started to play better, because he was the only attacker who actually, he was literally doing all the work by himself. And considering when all of them start to get back form, he will just get way better. Oh, and also, for one of the games, he did
score
a
goal,
like, we won a pen.
No, but that was
interesting, the pen, but it overruled the pen.
Then I rate you real high if you score goals, because that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And you could ask Team 1 Big Rum, it's not easy.
Like, honestly, again, though, I think trying to be hipster probably kept me from putting Raheem on my list away. But for me, genuinely, though, I think it's a prem. I think he's one of the best fans this season.
No,
for sure.
I really am. Stitch him out.
Nah, John,
John, I was going to say something in it.
I waited. Hey. If United
the,
are going,
again,
he's going to feel real sick.
I saw from Potter. I would really like to see Sterling in that same role that Havertz was actually in, because Havertz got a lot of chances, and I think that you put Sterling in those areas. Of, yeah, no, and I don't think that 10 necessarily has to be somebody that is overly creative now. I think that when you already have
Messi,
you had Mount, you had Kovacic. I think as well as the wing backs, I think the creative burden is already spread now. I think like you can put Sterling a little bit more centrally. And that's a role that he actually has played before he played at Liverpool, which was ages ago, but he's also played for England a few times as well. Though. So it's something that I would like to see Potter try at some point, especially if he is to put Chilwell in the side and put Chilwell at left wing back. I think having Sterling more centrally, though, I think it could only prosper. Yeah. What was your sixth pick?
Mine was mentioned already. Me and Ewan and I had the same Lewan. Big him up. Lewandowski, you don't really have to say much. No. His CV there.
Correct.
Everybody.
Correct. Is right.
I think he would have been anybody's like top.
You want to give a TFF one time?
Already discussed as well. The man with the arc reactor in chest. Yeah. T-Lungs. Christian Eriksen. So, you all know my thoughts on him already.
I would like to say that my top seven, not really top seven, my 2-7 rotated like 5 times in my head, though. Because they were really close to me, though. Like, I think there's very real chance I could have put Eriksen over Raheem, though, or even. I will level one also in my head. I want to think about value for money and all that. So yeah, no, fair enough. You are
my ten. I just picked the first 10, and I had a few others, but I was like, if I overthink this dog, I will never finish this list because
That's why I went with the hipster picks today. Yeah, to make it sound. We need someone to generate some weird content so he can get some interaction or something.
Yeah, I'll bring.
So look at the camera. Let's see that. So my fifth pick. Was a right back, and that's right. I guess it is Serge Aurier to Nottingham. No, it was Nasser Mazraoui to Bayern Munich. So I don't know if we're
It's a high one.
I just think, when you look at Bayern, I think I didn't like the window at all. Besides the Mazraoui move, and I'm trying to be a little. I was thinking about it because a lot of people look at Bayern Window as just as outsiders. Honestly, I think Mane leaving us is being overstated. Like, the impact of that is being overstated by the media.
Mane,
boy. Yeah, just more than picked up the slack as the rest of the team kind of fallen short, right? But taking Mazraoui, never really played that way. And I think that if Bayern, the thing is with me, is I look up and think, I really rate Nagelsmann like that. It's a funny thing. But I think that if Bayern win a Champions League again soon, at some point, or go deep in Europe, I think that Mazraoui is going to be a key player. And I think he is very underrated. I think that he would have actually been a very good signing for Manchester United too, at right back. And yeah, I think when you look at him, like a good mix of like technical ability, he could come inside, he could come outside, and just the actual complete defensiveness. And yeah, I mean, I think there is a real underrated signing.
What's your fifth pick,
John? Honestly, I think Student is more is definitely better fifth pick than Mazra, you know. But again, I'm going to be different because I feel better when I talk about Student, you know.
My fifth pick was a Barca player, but it actually wasn't Lewa. It was actually Koundé. I think when we look at Barca's issues, it was more so in the back than it was going forward, you see. Like,
I think my right back more than yours.
Lewa, don't question about as much as Lewa and Rafinha, they are extremely good pickups. Don't get me wrong. They come in on Melissa and also, right, Doug? But I think that if we're being honest, that I still think that the attack line would have done their job even if they might not have gotten those players across the line. You know, we're still talking about Dembele and Ola, who was doing it in that league before they came, right? Koundé, on the other hand, when we look at the other options outside Koundé, though, don't we looking at Eric Garcia, you know, the biggest false image in football that probably ever.
False image? People have positive images, right?
Araujo out, though, for like the rest of the year, apparently, though.
Let me see how much I miscatted this Koundé and this next guy.
Oh, yes, Koundé pull up in the French game.
Two of them injured.
I just want to say that when Mazraoui played Koundé, Mazraoui won.
Two of them
and I was like, one of the best players on the pitch.
I believe Rom will be back for Inter.
Can I go for more Britain?
Well, then, let me go to my fourth pick one time then. Anyway, didn't get this, if not, right? My fourth pick was actually Lewa. This is where it is getting a sticky boy. Yeah, my fourth pick was Lewa. And the reason that he was lower down is because, partially for the reason I said this. I think that, alright, let me say that they didn't just get Rafinha, and it was Rafinha, Dembele, and Orba as the front three. I still think they would have done well. I still think they would have walked these La Liga teams more or less like how they have been. Well, you don't think so? Anyway, I mean, Orba's my boy, you know, I ain't gonna fight him on that much once he's outside the league. But, I think that they still would have been good, right? Now, I think Lewa has to be this high because of his pedigree, how much they paid for him, and because now he puts them more into the category of not just being good in La Liga to compete in, right? Why he is lower than the other men is because compared to some of the other men, obviously he has more chances to fail, so there's a chance that he has more failures than the rest of them, right? Because the other men are actually all younger than him. There has been an issue with him for a long time about his ability to show up when they need him. And when we look at strikers that have been playing for Barca over the last few years, is when the striker has not done the job, it tends to be when they fail. You know, Suarez was 6 years without a away goal in the Champions League. Orban literally missed a tap-in against Frankfurt last year in the Europa League, though. It is, ironically, for a club that has been blessed with probably four of the top five strikers of our generation, it can be a problem position for them. Especially given the how it was under Messi now, because, you know, Messi tends to create for others, and those others need to finish under pressure. And that is a time in Lewa's career that he has struggled. And it's not for a lack of chances. We saw it against Bayern the other day. Forget just that. Bayern have lost like 3 semi-finals under him, you know. And yeah, you can see certain things and certain excuses. But dog, Benzema went that season with like 5 goals in La Liga. That same year, dog, he scored UCL semi-finals. So. You know, and I am somebody who maybe too much, and I'm open to hear that conversation. But I do put emphasis on being able to perform under pressure. And that's something that Lewa has missed in his career. So, I still haven't fought, but I just have him higher than the other one. And I guess it by wall, they say, I think I actually have the high. I have it the highest. So, okay. Good. Well, we get to that. Well, actually, well, Reggie Thomas is your fourth now.
No, I haven't. Yeah, yes.
I don't know what's coming. Like, don't even like watching your list, but I was feeling.
Oh, my fourth is, Jesus, Gabi Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, I was a little skeptical at him at the beginning, but after he roughly a preseason, I was like, okay, he has some sauce. And at the start of the season, he does look good. And we, in my opinion, kind of hold an Arsenal together. I strongly believe if he pick up a little injury, there'll be some problems for Arsenal.
The impact has been fantastic. He shows that he has a next level to the game. He has he had at City. Like, the man is a well-confident dribbler, but even in games when he hasn't scored or assisted for the season, I think he still looked dangerous. Like the United game, he was causing some trouble. Didn't score assists, but he still was a handful. I think he improved that whole Arsenal team. Like, he helped elevate that that team.
Yeah.
Where it was last season. From where it turned last season. So, big up, Gary.
Who's your fourth, you?
Yo, no, that meme when it's like 8 years ago was a YouTube video and it's my Bitcoin now. I don't know what.
Yes.
That's my fourth pick, boy. After back my side. Darwin Nunez is the fourth best signing of the window. And that might be probably, I think that with such a, you know.
All right.
So, let me have a strike of the man one time.
Not right off, but you.
Okay, but not top 10.
You part 80 million man as fourth who.
I don't know what to call Garrett.
Who's that 80 million man, dog? 64, brother. Right, so I think that we will see definitely our returns and investment. I think that if you watch them play, he's definitely had some very shaky moments. But I think. It's a matter of coming together. Obviously, people want to compare with Haaland because of a Fulham City signed two proper number nines at the same time, right? And honestly, we see that was a very poor comparison. Probably also because of, I mean, the way you look at the comparative lack of issues and the issues that Liverpool have had so far this season and the issues that City have had, it's a lot less for City, right? But I think people kind of like undervaluing how good he could come. I like to be optimistic with it. I think that a lot of people, including myself, have answered written them off already. But I'm not going to write them off. I tell you, I come on this specific episode here to just give you clips today, give you content. I think that Darwin Juniors will come good. I definitely think, you know, be it this week, be it in a couple of weeks, I think that we'll see what he can really offer. I think that we will see the finishing ability. His position is something, and obviously his physicality, I think, is up there with Haaland. Right now, I think the problem with him is probably just being a little too eager, too keen. He's not a robot like Haaland. Haaland is literally a robot, so that's unfair. But I think once he settles into the element, you might see something great coming from him. And that's why I'm so high on my list.
Dog, you need to stop like sparing people in WWE, you know? My boy Edge.
My friend Darwin. I wonder how you feel that. Me like him more. I say, yeah. I like this one.
But I think you all had to pay that money to get him early, you know?
I think 64 million, honestly, when you look at the add-ons, because we factor in the root price, right? 64 million. It just means we're going to move for a man price. So 64 is not really that out of the box for a man who bagged up last season. He did take a while to adapt to Benfica too. I think they said this season he was more assistant than anything else. But we'll see how it goes. It might obviously take years, make it to a year, maybe not years, I'm saying years. Because I don't think we'll stick with him for years if it doesn't take.
Since you gave Jesus as well, give us your third one time, no?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Eden.
My bad. But John, you gave your fourth, right?
Yeah, mine was Lewa. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves Lewa, dog. The boss, as we're talking about Liverpool, man, former Liverpool player, I have Sadio Mane.
Go
on, tell me about it.
I'm serious, lads.
Oh, that was wrong.
No, Sadio is a big baller.
Why is she laughing? I'm serious.
The price tag as well. It wasn't much money really for it.
Yeah, it was like $40 million though.
What price? Nah, joking.
I think the his role in like Liverpool's bad form a little overstated right now, because it's really other positions. Luis Diaz really doing it off the left side right now.
Properly. Correct. Yep.
I do think Mane had a different edge to him. Like, we really didn't appreciate, similar to like Sterling, where men would say, yeah, boy, this, like, they mightn't rate him as much, but the man has always scored goals since that move, even at Southampton.
Yeah.
Since he moved, he has always been like up there. It's just Salah on the team, so he's getting a little overshadowed. But I think the pedigree of the player is big. He have big shoes to fill in Lewa at Bayern, but I think he will capably do that, honestly.
Nah, I don't think he will, and that's why he's not in my list. I think as somebody who watched Mane coming out to the end of the game, it's very sad for Arsenal. I'd rather keep him as somebody to play. But I look at it objectively, and like, he's always a player. He was, I think, 2019-20 when he league, that's for his best season for us. And he's always a player. When he's like, one thing you see with him constantly is that drive and that desire. And that ability to create stuff out of nothing, that's something he's been good at. Right? But
why is he saying though that I think LeBron?
Diaz is doing it.
I think he does do a lot of tempo setting for Liverpool. You know, just with how ferocious he used to be now. And I think that is what is missing for Liverpool. Not necessarily him, but the intensity from the side is kind of missing right now. And I think he was our big part of setting the tempo a lot of times.
Then, as the fact that we have no any midfielders, that's one thing. Even when you look at right now, Bayern, they were trying to form in X amount of years, they haven't won a Bundesliga game. That's one thing, but they're trying to play him as a winger, not working out. And he's not Lewandowski, he's consistently overperformed his XG over the last like 5-6 seasons by like buckets. You're talking about 5-10 plus. Look, Mane is not that guy. Mane is always underperforming his XG. Mane is not that great finisher. At the beginning of the season, last season, there was a period where Mane was just Gerald of form. And then like after he went AFCON and he went, he gets powers, and I think that's really peak there for him, honestly. His powers gonna come back to him a little bit and he closes the season with us. But Mane is a very wasteful player, and I don't think that's something that Lewandowski wants, especially in those games when you're playing the Bochums and you know the Union Berlin something. And I think he definitely, especially on name, is all exciting. I've seen a lot of Bayern fans in already. Obviously there's still time for him to come good, but I just feel like because of his age as well, he kinda loses what made him as great as he was now, in terms of his pace. But yeah, IQ is definitely something like a caricature. But yeah.
You wanna give us your third one time?
My third? Who's my third, boy? My third was Aurelien, boy. Tchouaméni. We stayed to water already, and that's the one player I wanted us to sign to someone, boy. And you're gonna kill us at Madrid. He's a top player. We see him, he's two ways. He's a player, he can play as a 6 players, at 8, he can advance, he can defend. I like them kind of midfielders, boy. And yeah, I think, as you say, 100 million was cheap enough years, boy. And I don't pity not Mbappé decided. It's a pity that Mbappé decided to not go to Madrid so we can just get him on. But yeah. Well, on Madrid, because again.
I have one.
Was late, yeah, boy.
So I have Tchouaméni as third as well. And also, last season, Chelsea was offered to sign him for 40 million.
Many brothers, yes.
Give him a next season. And now everybody loses their one.
Right now, just like.
The reason I had him so high, though, was because, look, replacing Casemiro is a massive job. And the truth is, I think going into the season, they wasn't planning for him to start, right? Because they wasn't planning to sell Casemiro. That is fine. That probably at least slim ease into it. But like, I think his first game was kind of rough there. I remember Shiv's complaining about it. But I think after that, it has been really good. And what Johan thought it was, about being like a complete package midfielder, is that one something that he has to his game that Paul Casemiro at his best and all his accomplishments never had was his ability to play, especially under pressure with the ball at his feet and stuff like that. And, you know, you watch clips of Madrid now and they tend to play out of presses a lot easier, and because of that, Modric gets him to hang a lot higher, and Modric is actually getting more goals and assists at the start of a season that I think he's had in a couple of years. And I don't think that's by mistake. He's gotten a few assists already to his name. And again,
they literally started for Vinicius from that last week where it was ridiculous with assists for Vinicius. Not for Rodrigo, sorry.
Yeah, but he also assists Vinicius, I think. But I'm not sure. But what I was going to say, though, is that like they signed a man so that they basically replaced the greatest midfield trio ever. So that now they have another trio to play for them for the next 10 years. Like, that is ridiculous. And I mean, we said the link with Jude. Like, why? That is so unnecessary. But yeah, though. My...
I'll be Liverpool big signing.
Yes, my second and first tie. So, I'll go last.
Okay.
Because it's basically, yeah, the same. So, I'll go last. Regime.
We all know who everybody for signing is, though. Like, let's be real.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, we mentioned it before, it was Andreas Christensen for me, now. Okay, as well. We talk about number ones or number twos, right?
Who's the number two?
GJ, bro. My was GJ.
I have Lovinovsky, yes, too.
Yeah, yeah, I've been really good, dog. Yeah, I fight the dumb. My UCL fans, they're shining because of heat.
He might have 11 goals in 9 games,
Yeah,
you don't know. You know, and I read that man to the goal and back. I feel like he was stealing me to sign for Arsenal away. Like, watching when he was linked away, I was like, yeah, boy, Arsenal, I'm gonna pick him up. And is exactly what you think could have happened. Man, just is, as you say, is the headers or is the levelers? I think that's not really needed over the course of, to really get the full effect of that double. And I think we see that now, even if it's only been a little bit, I think that he will be the man to kind of take it up a notch. When you have people like Lacazette and Aubameyang, like, we see them play, we see in positions, like, we see the confidence he's playing with. And
tough for this moment, though.
Bro, he's just a great player, boy. I honestly think that, he's gonna come into his own hustle. And while it might be, you know, like, obviously there are a lot of great signings, but I was a personal opinion, obviously. I think he's up there. Top two for me.
Who's the second one in?
Jadu boy that you're missing right now. Tony Rudiger, boy.
Hey!
Coming in hot for that one because...
Yeah, that's one, that one's
on a free.
Price tag on a free. And I think... Like, man didn't realize how good he was, like, last season. Oh, the man, even the season there, season before, like, his... He will try even
The man make Rajiv cry, boy.
Try even the back three.
Man was real good last season, though. The man make Champions League, best 11.
I don't like him. Because
well, he's real just, sad. Like,
he's a shit out of
I realize
man.
How when you see his face, when you see he's
one of
the best in the world, but I don't like him.
Nah, the man is a menace to us, but he knows how to rile up players. The effect he had on Chelsea, I think, look at when he left, they still not replace him yet, as in, they still not get nobody to settle there, is it? And I think Real Madrid have a player on their hands there, for sure.
Yeah, fair enough. Who was the second one, Jadu?
He was the one.
All right, yeah. Well, obviously my first is Haaland, right? But I say Ty because... my second one is Jesus, right? And the reason that I say that is because, like, obviously, like, I have my bias or something, right? And I'll leave
that way.
But I think that there are stuff that he's added that I can't quantify. So, like, for example, we've conceded the season 3 times that has resulted in a change in the outcome. So, we conceded to go behind against Fulham. We conceded first at United to go behind. And then we conceded equalizer against Aston Villa. And one thing I've noticed from us this season, now, I also think this is a knock-on effect based on how last season ended. But even more so with him was this comfortability in the squad that is okay. We go in again. That setbacks is nothing now, boy. And while I know that in the end of his City career, he wasn't as a vital part as he was before, he did play vital roles in winning championships for them. And he's actually have a solid big game record for them as well. And I think that intangible he's added to us is a big reason as to why we started the season the way we have. You know, I also think that he feels really unleashed with us. You know, I think that Arteta has really given him that confidence that, you know, he's a nine. And I think that there's this knock-on effect with Pep that, you know, the second that he starts to doubt you, that he can't cripple your confidence. I think we see that with Sterling. We saw that with Jesus. We see that even with Sané, because Sané actually had a really good season last year. And I think that him being liberated from that pressure has really made him back to being at his best a little bit. I think that with him, though, that I said this before, that I think that what Arteta's ball or what his system is now, I think that he's taken some things from Klopp and some things from Pep. And the one thing from Klopp that I think that he's taken is that fluidity amongst the front three. And I think that with the front three now, there's a bit more freedom with them to express themselves and to have a bit more individualism as compared to Pep. It's a little bit more systematic. It's a little bit more positional awareness and stuff like that. And I think with that freedom is why we see things like dribbles. Jesus has the most dribbles completed in Europe. You know, that is not a thing to shy on. And look, I am pretty sure if we are to do a team of the season right now, at the Premier League, he's not going to make it, right? And I am aware of that because, you know, the start of the strikers outside the season is really high between Kane, Haaland, Tony, Mitrovic, these guys, right? Yes. But he has 7 goals and assists in 7 games. You know, that is pretty damn good, dog. And
yeah, like what a Firmino.
Like I said, dog, I think it's more than just the goals and stuff like that. I think he's added a lot more. I hear what you all said about that. If he gets injured, that is a big concern. And obviously, any star that gets injured, it would be a concern. And I say this, and I genuinely don't say this tongue-in-cheek, but as long as it's not for a very long time, I do think that we can cope without it. But what is not long? You know, I think Eddie Nketiah, obviously, is a level below the man. But I think,
It depends who they're playing. If it's a
it does.
In the table teams, I think Eddie could more than handle it.
Yeah, Chelsea. And I think like what I've seen and decide now is like with the exception of Tierney and Zinchenko, a lot of the players are very similar in their roles now in terms of who's competing for this position, who's competing for that one. So if somebody gets injured, it's not a systematic change, but it's somebody coming in and just carrying on the job now. But, and I think Eddie actually has some similarities to Jesus. I was watching his radar the other day. And they have some similar high points to their game. Obviously, Jesus is a bit more technically gifted, and I think he's a better finisher than Eddie. But, I think Jesus is the reason where we are right now. And, yeah, you could say, look who we play, but at the end of the day, dog, the average position he seems to be playing so far this season is higher than Spurs and City. And we only drop points in one game. Spurs and City drop points in two. And, again, I think a big part of that is Gabriel Jesus. I think I've seen players go up a level. I like similar, not the same, because he played with better men than Ozil played with. But when Ozil came in, I saw some of the most garbage men I ever seen play in my life. Though, and like Kieran Gibbs, I think all of a sudden was functional, you know. And sometimes when a player comes in with a certain prestige, like winning 4 league titles and having like 8 trophies at Man City, it forces players to carry up their level a little bit. And I've seen some of that. With Haaland, it really makes sense to talk much about the man. Why I said that they were closer than it is that Haaland makes a good team better, you know?
I was going to say, I think that's Haaland comes in the City, elevates them. But
I think when he is
comes in and elevates them.
I think he is carries up a few levels, you see, because like I said this before, that I don't believe that fixing one position on your pitch just carries you up one level. I think they can be chain reactions to the conversation, like players combining with one another. Like I just said with Bruno and Eriksen, right? And I think it's similar thing with Jesus. And Patrick said this on the pod, and I don't necessarily agree, but he said that if Haaland gets injured, they'll just carry on because they've been doing it already without him, right? Now, I don't necessarily agree because I think that at the same time, City sold a lot of their goals over this last summer here. Sterling is their top scorer at the club, and he's gone. Jesus is gone. And I think what they did, though, is that they bought somebody who combines those goals into one. But with that now, there's a bigger risk of injury because then you're losing goals of two players in one if that one goes out. But Haaland is him. The impact is there for everybody to see, though. they get him at a bargain price when we look at the market at the end of the day. And as long as he stays fit, which he has so far this season, and this is the longest stretch of games he's been fit for nearly 2 years, then they're going to end up walking the league, and they're going to be a menace to the Champions League. So, yeah. Anybody could go now. This is the last player.
Alan just, the man was concerned about the fitness and stuff. So far, he has been managed well by Pep, I would say. And he shows that his fitness is there. The man's record is insane, but that was expected. Like, nobody didn't expect him to do this. So he's not, like, blowing anybody's mind right now. He's just doing what everybody thought he would have, to be honest with you.
Anybody else have anything about Haaland? Or anybody that they wish made the top 10 that didn't?
Well, like,
I think there's a chance that Lukaku actually does come back. It's such a, yeah.
Oh no, I was telling men that.
I think he really loves the club, but I think he feels something when he comes.
And he's still on loan. I strongly believe. He's just a weird individual. But him and Tuchel definitely fell out. And Potter would be like, I have a 100 million striker on loan. Obviously, he will want to see what he have later on. But he can't be recalled before.
He most likely feels that he can all get recalled in January.
Because he wanted to sign him for Brighton.
We'll
come back in January.
To see, yeah.
So, Bill Gilmore got sold. So the thing is, only Tuol Gilmore stick around.
I like that look. I was thinking very bad.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, no. Like, if I had to make a team in season so far, honest to God, I put him in. I think he's been really, really good. Like, dog, Mitrovic came out the first. All right, please do it, dog. But dog, that man doing anything, dog. He do anything. After this, they probably don't have an answer. It's fine. Is there any manager that team in since between now and the start of the summer that's all they like as a signing?
Gaultier, Ten Hag, and Potter, right off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, that's basically my shirt. I know
everybody's like Potter, but.
I hope you guys really enjoyed this. This will be coming out Friday morning. So whenever you are listening to this, the following Monday, we will be starting the giveaway for our anniversary. In association with Kit Pundit, if you want to know who that is. And yeah.
What?
What?
Hey, what kids?
Association with Kit Pundit.
Oh, I want to know what you're talking about.
I think this year we're giving away 5 kits or something like that. So, yeah. That's it, guys.
We are out of bands in here.
Where is it?
We are out of bands in these giveaways, right? Because if we win, I look at the bar now.
How is somebody from Quarter Flag about winning giveaway? I don't think so, you know. I think I always thought that I looked bad, you know. Actually, somebody did win it once that ended up joining Quarter Flag later. But, yeah.
Pre-chance, where you're tapping them up. All right, guys. Later.
Appreciate it. I'll catch you guys next time. See you soon. Take it easy. Later.
Bye.